Okay, and we return. Glad you're all there. We get to spend an hour with a man that I have known for a number of years now. I knew the first time I saw a piece of his artwork that he had done something that no one else had done at that level before, and that it was here to stay. I had to do a little talking to convince him to keep on, but he did, and now he is literally world famous, and deservedly so. He is David Dees. His art appears at Rents.com and certainly all over the world, but we get it first here, and he's got another masterpiece up there today. There is a lot in the way of political art. Political cartoons, if you will, have been around ever since newspapers and probably before, making fun of leaders, popular and otherwise. But David has done something with art that just hasn't ever been duplicated. And I'm not quite sure why, but he is sometimes mimicked, but rarely given the international recognition that he deserves. I think someday that'll happen, and certainly his signature is on each piece. Unfortunately, a lot of people who do use and appropriate his art are careful to clip that ddees.com off the bottom right corner. Hopefully, if you see that, you might bring it to the attention of whosoever site it's on that this is a David Dees art piece, and he should be certainly given credit for it. This is a brilliant one up there right now. If you look at it, you'll notice it does take your eye in a circle, a clockwise circle, and it is quite a circle indeed. It's all right there. And if you want to have a real feast for the eye and the mind, buy David's book. It is absolutely extraordinary. You give it to anyone. I don't care who they are. And they start thumbing through the images. And the images are so powerful, they trigger things in people's minds that they often didn't know were even there. And they challenge them and they say, aha, he's right on. Look underneath the piece of art at the top of Rents and you'll see David Dees archives. They're all there. You can go to his site. If you need a book cover design, by the way, he is amazing at book cover design. And I would urge you to consider having him do your book. He's very reasonable, and you will have a cover that you can be proud of for the rest of your life. Hello, DD. How are you?
What can I say after that introduction? That
Nothing.
Was quite a commercial.
Good night.
I'm not going to say anything. I will say that I started off in advertising, so what you just all the promotion you just did was warmed my heart up.
Good. Oh, you're welcome. And David, by the way, worked for all of you who remember Sesame Street, some as parents, some as young adults now. David, for years, did a lot of the key Sesame Street illustrations for the books and the booklets and so forth that were put out with the characters in them. He's got quite a background. So, okay, friend, this has been a wild ride ever since that first piece you sent me. And timidly asking would I consider posting it. And I said something like, only if you'll do another one. Something like that. Anyway, it got started. And it has been a roll. You're not, speaking of roll, you're not rolling in money. So that's why I did mention that you are available. You're not out of reach at all for folks who want to use your talents and appropriate them in some way to help their own messages. We can do that. But tell us what's been the most fun for you out of all this. It's been pretty intense.
It has been intense. I've done around 600 pieces now in the last 8 years, and I would say about half of those are pretty good. Some of them are experiments. The new piece that we have up about ISIS is kind of evolved into this sort of visual puns. In the beginning I was doing very simplified illustrations, and now you can see the compositions have become a storyline, and as you mentioned, it reads in a circle. I had a lot of requests to do things on ISIS, and I didn't even understand what ISIS was, so I went on the net and started to research this, and I still don't know what it is. It appears, I'm not going to go into what I think it is so much, but I did design the art around bringing interest to that and who might be involved without saying, pointing any direct fingers, although I guess I am pointing plenty of fingers. I'm pretty proud of this piece. It came together pretty quick. And you, of course, helped me. People don't realize is that when I have these ideas, I certainly we're in tight communication, and I pass them by you. And, you know, you're a wealth of information that I can, you know, show if the art is working, communicating what we're trying to get it to communicate. And your ideas really, really help a lot. So
it's always fun. It's always rewarding. It's always
fun. It is the one fun part of this job. Because we look at such dire information every day.
Yeah,
doing this to do illustrations that makes fun or points out what people should be aware of is a lot of fun, and it brings some lightness to a subject that is just murderous, and that's very rewarding too.
Dark as it gets. If you look at the piece at the top of Rents, you'll see what we're talking about, and it's a Three Stooge assemblage in the middle, a three-headed, the torsos are kind of blended together, Obama left and Kerry in the center, and that loon over in England on the right. It's funny, on the foreheads, David has, on Cameron, a Star of David, he's Jewish, and Kerry, of course, has Jewish heritage, and then he's got Goy, G-O-Y, on Barry Sotero's forehead. And it would have been funny if Cameron hadn't been Jewish, if he were a Goy too. I had suggested that just for fun we do Goy on Cameron, Star of David on Kerry, and Gay on Obama. It would have been cute. But you get the idea. And then we have Netanyahu with the, the guy's a machine. He's a genocidal machine. And there he is. It's quite clear. And we do know that he is the visible mouthpiece of the Rothschilds' privately created and owned company called Israel, which is exactly what it is. It's a corporation. And it has fingers in many different locations, dark fingers doing very ugly things all over the planet. You've watched the slaughter of Palestinians yet again. And you've watched the mainstream media do next to nothing about it.
Well, we're doing something. I guess we're doing some art that'll point these things out. And with Netanyahu, I have the back of his head exposed, and you can see the machinery. And then there's a wire that plugs into the side of his head. You know, I tried to, and he's also, his face is lit up from the glow of a contract of from the Federal Reserve Bank, where they're offering a contract for all the weapons spending.
Yeah.
For all the future wars they'll have to eliminate Syria, Iraq, Iran, Lebanon, Ukraine, and eventually Earth, which are all Israel's enemies. These are all interesting ways. And they're using what I consider ISIS, their new boogeyman. They always have some reason to go to war, and this is their newest. And if you look at the amount of weapons compared to, you know, ISIS, who has a bunch of machine guns, basically, and knives, perhaps, to cut people's heads off. Anyway, but really, instead of getting into how dark the planet, these people that are running the planet are causing us to experience our lives, if you put your attention there, you don't have to put your attention on these things. You can always look out the window and enjoy a nice chemtrailed sunset. But what I'd like to talk to tonight, if I can swallow and relax a bit here, because I'm not used to doing radio shows, is I'd like to talk about the creative process, how this art is created. I get a lot of questions about how I do it, what I'm thinking, how do I get past a creative block, you know? I wrote a bunch of stuff down today or yesterday, and now that I was looking at it, it just looks like a blur of words. I don't know that I'm going to be able to decipher all my notes, but I'm going to try to answer the question of, or maybe inspire somebody in the creative process, because the way I do it can apply to anything. If you're building a treehouse, if you're, knitting a rug, it's probably the same idea, in creativity. And so I'm going to give you my viewpoint on it the best I can.
Let me tell our listeners, when David puts a concept together, he'll send it over. And I'll get an email from him, and it'll have FB in the subject line, feedback. And I always love to get those because I know when I'm going to open it up, I will be seeing something new and often quite staggering and unique and always just amazing. I don't know. They talk about going to the well. David has a very deep well of inspiration. I don't know how this all works.
I don't know about that. All you have to do is look at any subject matter, and there's a tons of articles and videos, and
yeah.
People have already done all the legwork and all the research. I simply pull it together and try to come up with imagery to visually show it in one piece.
So, well, I honor your humility, and that's fine. I think the rest of us out here look at you in other ways as a leader. A man who inspires thought, and I'm not going to say any more nice things, except I can't help it, so I have to. Have you, just for fun, before you get into the creative process, have you ever gotten a communication from someone else, let's say, who has been in political art for 20, 30 years and said, David, I really like your new approach. You've taken the business of political art to a different level. You have no peers. This is a whole different paradigm of expression. Have you ever had anybody else in the field comment on that?
Let's see. I had a political artist, a political cartoonist, because there's not really been the subject of political art so much until the internet came around.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the classic political cartoons where they would label all the different things and the things you saw in the newspaper. I did have a guy that said that one of my illustrations was similar to one of his cartoons, and he showed it to me. And it was, but, you know, I never saw that before.
Well, so you've had very little feedback. Let's put it
that way. Yeah, I've had very little feedback. It's almost I've almost created a new genre in a way. So
you have.
I don't have any peers only because no one else is really doing this. And it's not that they can't do it. You know, there's certainly, I lived in Hollywood in Los Angeles for nearly 20 years, and believe me, I worked in a few design studios, and I saw talent that would, you know, really, it's mind-blowing. Go in and watch some of these movies. You see there's a lot of talent in that town.
Mm-hmm.
And any one of them, if they had a budget, could way create anything I do. But, you know, I don't get paid to do this. I do it mostly to wake people up. If you look at the bulk of the illustrations I've done, that you post, is I try to wake people up to the slow kill process. What that means is that, you know, when you got these insane people in power, they have on their agenda to cull the population, and they've done, you know, a tremendous job, for the last 100 years. How do they do it? With war, with, cancer, with a lot of different diseases. They've introduced things into the food supply, or with plastics, things that will make you sick. And then they get rich, you know, with their treatments that basically kill you. So what I do is, for importance, if when I pick a subject, I choose something that I think will help people, you know, instead of headlines, you'll see that a lot of times I'll bypass whatever, you know, murder spree some guy went on, or some other, you know, big fiasco. I'll just go past that and go, you know, we need another illustration about GMOs. Because that's really bad. Or about Fukushima, about the radiation. We need illustrations that people pass around that they can help other people by waking them up to the electronic grid, or to the, you know, the electronic smog radiation, the cell phones, the Wi-Fi, all these things that break apart the cell structure of the body. These are things that I think are important, you know, that affect a tremendous amount of people. And when I'm doing those, I feel the best. So
nice. Okay, do you wake up in the morning and go, or do you see something online and it clicks, an idea? How does it work?
I get that feeling of wanting to create occasionally. Sometimes I feel there's a need for something that's going on, or you'll pass the email to me and say, you know, this just broke. Let's, you know, work on something about that. Like Ebola, you said we need an Ebola piece, so. Forget what was the name of the country, or Liberia?
Liberia. Mm-hmm.
Liberia. And I went and looked at photographs of Liberia, And holy smoke, you know, and I looked at the videos, and after about 30 minutes, I had this, well, all the imagery of all these Africans that are in terrible squalor and also dying of this horrible disease was pretty shocking. So I just stepped back and said, what am I going to do with this? How can I ever bring a political illustration of this? And if you go in the archives, if you know, on the top of Rent, underneath the splash there, you'll see, you can go to the gallery if you want to see the art I'm talking about. We did the Ebola piece, you know, with the waterfall.
Yep.
You know what
yep.
I'm talking about.
Oh, sure.
Yeah. Go to the top where the underneath the splash, it'll say D's Archive. Click on that, and then you'll see there's three different galleries. The one on the left, the gallery one, click on that. And open here. And then just scroll down. It's just three or four down. It's the second one.
Mm-hmm.
And what I came up with, I wanted, you know, anytime you want to make a point, you want to exaggerate it. So when I saw that the blood was coming from people's orifices, I thought, how am I going to ever present such a horrific thing,
uh-huh,
and have people not freak out? And so what I do sometimes is make it a little cartoonish. You know, you can say anything you want to somebody as long as you say it in the right way. And
correct.
So I make, yeah. Oh, yeah. I tend to take these subject matter that is unapproachable and make it so you can look at it. And that's what I did with this. I made it literally into a waterfall of blood, and have a patient in the foreground that is just coming apart. But it's somehow, I can look at it, and it seems very amusing to me. And even this lady wrote to me that she said she didn't want to look at it, and then when she started looking at it, she started laughing, you know, and she just was so, you know, admiring all the little puns and the little jokes that I included, like the guy in the hazmat suit that is offering the, you know, the Ebola patient a Red Bull, you know, to give him some energy, but, you know.
Right.
That's or some the other guys offering him, you know, a jar of medicine. But you know, this is what I came up with after searching through, you know, the thousands of photographs of Ebola, which is unconfrontable, but somehow we made it so you can confront it in this illustration.
Well, that's it. You kind of work into it, slide them in sideways sometimes, but it registered nonetheless that. This is a very, very ugly thing. And there's another Ebola piece, I guess, in the works. As you know, we have an active case here in Dallas. Somebody came back, flew back from West Africa. Seems to me it was a private jet or a small jet. I got the number 7 people. I have to do more research on it. Tomorrow night, Dr. Henry Nyman will be here, and we will bring you fully up to date. The key will be, of course, has there been another person on that flight infected? And we will know within probably a week. There's a 21-day incubation period. Fellow said he didn't start feeling bad, apparently, until 4 days ago. Now, that means he could have been infectious, contagious, and shedding viruses for, well, 15 days. How many people did he shake hands with? I don't know. Sweaty hands, a cough, a sneeze, any of those things, certainly at a very minimum, are potentially vectors of transmission. So we will see. What we don't want to do is panic, and let's hope for once the CDC can get its act together and do proper contact tracing. We will find out soon enough. So I would urge all of you not to jump to conclusions, but to be very wary and try to follow us. We do bring it to you straight. Dr. Nyman is the best on the planet in terms of explaining virology and the dangers to us. Go ahead.
Well, that's all good information. I have been sent lots of, I'm getting a little echo. Are you getting a call?
Oh, it's somebody who knows listening in. Yeah, it's
been,
fine. You sound fine.
I've been sent some questions, and I want to get to those now.
Yeah, I can read them if you'd like.
Oh, you have them. Okay, good. So yeah. Ask me the questions, and I'll try to answer.
Ask me the questions, I tell you no lies. All right, this is from Paula. She says, Dear David, once you get an idea, she didn't say Dear David, but I put that in there because it sounded nice. I'm sure she meant it. Dear David, once you get an idea in your head for your design, how long does it usually take for you to put it together? where do I find your book that you have put together with your art in it? Is it for sale anywhere? Well, absolutely. DDEES.com, and there's the book right there. It's also somewhere on my homepage. I'm not sure where, but it's there. So, yes.
That's right. Yeah, you go to my website. It's DDEES.com, and you'll see there's a button for the book, and you can order it from there. And thank you for that. Also, she said, once you get an idea in your head for your design, how long does it take to put it together? Well, the initial process sometimes is a long process before I even have that idea. I mean, if I have an idea that I'm going to do about a certain subject, then I start to research the subject. I'll go through thousands of photographs on Google Images. What I want to do is to understand the subject from every angle I can, and so that I can bring in all the elements that would explain it. So I pulled together about 30 or 40 photographs off of the internet into a file and start to study those. The visual pun is sometimes the hard part. You exaggerate things, or you certainly want to put the main subject, the communication, up front. And I work in percentages. I have a background in mathematics, so I realized at one time that I'm working in percentages. The main communication subject of the illustration will certainly be a much higher size, you know, in the art than the rest of the things. You want to put that up front and center. So I hammered together a rough photographic composite of the idea. That goes really fast if I know the direction I'm going, and I can put that together in less than an hour. Once I do that, though, that's the hard part, is to replace all the photographs I've pulled with high-resolution photographs, and then all the meticulous detailing, the airbrushing, lighting, making it so that it reads well. And then I'll send it to you at that point and see if you are getting what I'm, without telling you what it's supposed to be.
Yeah.
You're supposed to figure out if you're getting it. And then I got about 75% track record of hitting it the first time, and then other times it's a miss.
Very rarely. But yeah, that's how the process works. He does put it together roughly, although you can instantly see. I mean, the message just leaps at you. It's right there. Can't miss. Just like the one you see now. Look at the minutia, and you'll see a lot of detail work that it's all there. You can look at it at several levels. All right, hold on a second. We'll be right back with David Deese. Okay, we're back with David Deese. Next question. This is from Ipswich, UK. Wayne. Hi, Wayne. Thank you for listening, if you're out there, and thanks for the question. David, do you feel your inspiration and your energy that goes into your artwork is from interdimensional beings channeling your talents and working through you to create interdimensional pieces of intelligent, highly explosive, fundamentally life-changing and thought-provoking, truth-seeking artworks? Or could it be a combination of your higher self working for the higher good through your third eye chakra? A little New Age-ish there, but go ahead. What do you have to say to that?
Well, let's see. I woke up in 2010, you know this, and I don't make it too readily available unless you study about my bio so much, is that I became aware that I think what he's saying is that I became aware in 2010 that I'm a contactee, and I have a group that has favored me, and it's a very odd thing to say, but I'm actually a contactee of alien beings from other sources. I don't know exactly where they're from. They've blocked out a lot of that. And it's also interesting that my friend told me this, that my contact started 10 years before, and they only just now woke me up to it. So it seems that during my contacts is when this political art has taken off. I don't think that it's there. I tend to think that in my mind, these are my ideas, but then again, I've been woken up to the fact that we're surrounded by beings that are always contributing to us if we're quiet enough to listen to what they're trying to say, because they're on a different dimension. I'm a bit sensitive that way, and I do get impulses. I've had some telepathy that came through real loud and clear. It was unmistakable, and other things that came in very mildly. If I started doing sacred geometry and really complex illustrations that were something completely different than what I've done before, I would think that I'd be heavily influenced from the outside. But I think that the stuff I'm doing is not that hard to understand. It's based a lot on my background in advertising and entertainment illustration. So the answer would be that I think it's a little bit of everything. I think I'm actually being influenced from outside myself, but it's my mind, and I override any of their ideas. But I'll take them in wherever I can get them. You know?
Yeah.
If they have good ideas, then I will certainly put those out there for you.
Yeah, you do override.
The third eye chakra, mm-hmm. It's just being sensitive to the non-physical universe. What I've understood is that we are non-physical beings that are that have picked up bodies and are in the physical universe, but we are mostly non-physical beings. To the degree you become very solid is what you are in the physical world. Here's another thing is that I work a lot is what they call the emotional skill. People when they create, you can create from all the different scales of the emotion, in anger, in grief. If you're writing a song, you could be writing from something terrible that happened to you, and some of the greatest songs have been written from probably your tear stains. But certainly you're more effective when you get up in the higher emotions and cheerfulness, enthusiasm, being euphoric. Then you can write grief from that viewpoint. You can create any emotion you want. So mm-hmm. If you get in the upper emotions, which is where is the most desirable, and when you're in the upper emotions, is you're the most spiritual. The lower emotions are purely in the physical world. Because what I understand is that once you drop this body and you go into the non-physical, you're not going to be having these very solid angers and upsets and misunderstandings. Is that we're very normal in the physical world, which is why the mainstream media loves to keep you interbulated, very confused, very angry. They love to play people off of each other. That's what that's all about, is to keep you in the physical world, very solid. That's why some of these subjects that I illustrate, I try to lighten it up, make it fun, even though it's horrible. Some things you can't lighten up, but you can certainly put some color to it and have people rest there. The news is impossible to listen to because it's all about who hurt each other, who hurt the, who killed who. Okay, that's my answer. Does that make sense?
That's a very inclusive answer. Yeah, okay. Very good. Okay, here's another one. This is from Paulie. It's pretty much the same thing, but just located in one area. Did the images just pop into your head while you're reading the news? Thanks for all the brilliant splash arts, David.
Do they pop in my head? Not
yeah.
really. It's I have to approach the subject and study it. It takes a while. It takes a lot of research sometimes. I think it shows. I mean, I don't. I haven't really done too many things that I got the repercussion from it being incorrect.
But not only that, these are they're multi-layered. Many of them. They're not just, it's not one-dimensional in terms of thought and import and information or any other kind of emotional, intellectual response. It's levels, and it's very substantial. They're also, they can be taken very lightly and fun. It's kind of neat because you can do with them what you want.
There was a thing called the file clerk that I read about in a philosophy once. A good example of this is, you know, when you're trying to think of a name of some entertainer or something, and you see their face and you can't think of the name, and you just forget about it. And then, you know, a few minutes later or even an hour later, it'll just pop into your head. Well, in that hour, you weren't sitting there constantly trying to think of it. What happened was is that as the mind works, apparently, is that you have asked a question of the mind. The mind is independent from you, in a sense, has been searching for the answer. And it came back, and it just, remember, I mean, you know how it feels is when it just pops in your head. It's amazing when it happens. And then you'll blurt it out and say, that's who it was. And then that's kind of the way I work, is that I'll pull together all the parts of the illustration, all the elements. And then sometimes it'll take days or even a week. I'll just be thinking about it, and then I'll say, and then it'll come in, just like remembering a name. I don't know if it's me building that idea together or if it's coming from somewhere else, but like I said, I'll take it from wherever it comes from.
Indeed, and it comes often from remarkable places. Be right back in just a couple. Hang in there. Back with David, and let's go back to our questions here. This is from L.M. I hold you as the graphic design overlord whose power demonstrates the ability to break the chains of artistic restraint around the globe. You yield the power, David, of an artistic monsoon in the midst of crushing the boundaries of the creative block that enslaves others. Was this power captured early on at the Art Institute of Atlanta or later by making a deal with Lucifer, I sold my soul to the devil, in order to gain the power to destroy the dark lords of creative block?
Wow, what a question. It's mostly about people having creative block. I would say this, you know, when you're in a room with somebody, sometimes that you don't have a thing to say to that person. And other times, if you have chemistry with them, you just can carry a conversation for hours.
Yep.
So think of it this way. If you're writing songs and you have a creative block, perhaps it's, you know, your relationship with your audience, because it is a communication. You would need to find, or your communication, is this what you want to say? I mean, there was a time when I write songs, and early on, I was trying to write songs, and I was having a miserable time until I hit upon the idea of writing comedy songs, and then suddenly there was a huge outflow. I was writing a lot of stuff. So I had a lot to say if I said it in a funny way, same way with the illustration. So that's what I would say, is that you have to find something you really want to talk about, because art is communication. So creative blocks are only unless it's something physical.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you know, you need to do a cleanse and be able to think clear, do a brain cleanse, and that would give you the you want your body to be in order and to be balanced. that's a good starting point. And then I would say whatever subject it is you want to create around, study it and get influenced by people that are that do things that inspire you. Just, you know, huge inflow that way. But what I was going to say, okay, so that's the questions. I think that's a good answer. But let's talk about the books. I've been designing book covers now for about 8 years.
Yeah.
And we put together a page. It's on your site, but it's also on my site. If you go to dds.com and just the first button, it says cover art. Click on that, and you'll see that I've assembled about 40 book covers. If you need a book cover, I need to help you with that. And I'm very flexible with the prices. It can go from $200 to $2,000 or $20,000 if you got it. But, you know, I have a lot of experience in this area, and you can take a look at some of the more recent pieces I've done that have to do with health, politics, or you know, religions, different philosophies. There's all sorts of a pretty wide range of stuff I've covered here.
The book that is out right now, the first one, is being prepared to be sold overseas, isn't it?
Yeah, there's a fellow in Ireland that has took an interest in it and he wants to publish it over there. And he just wants to get the word out. You know, there's not a lot of money to be made doing it. And for shipping it around Europe, or from here to Europe, it costs a lot of money, but to actually print it in Europe and then from there will certainly help things a lot. Yeah.
Okay. Go ahead. No, you go ahead.
I didn't really have anything to say. I was just babbling.
Well, you make noise like you were going to. You scared me there. All right. Book covers. You can't tell a book by its cover. Now, very true words. However, in this day, let me also mention DVD covers. All right. You got a DVD out there? You've got to have a cover that pulls people to it. That's not easy to do. I have seen some of the dumbest covers on some of the best DVDs out there. And you just want them out there more than you want the money. You want the information out there. That's what all good journalists and artists are trying to do. So when we have a really great, strong image on the cover, you can't lose. So if you have invested a great deal of your time in a DVD documentary or something, by all means, consider that as well as something that David can help you with. He'll talk to you. Submit your DVD or your book. He'll look at it, talk to you, give you some ideas on what direction he would recommend. You have the ultimate say. Whatever recommendations you make, he'll work with. So it's something you really want to consider doing. Go to dds.com and look at the book cover display. It'll give you the idea right away. And they're just terrific. If I had time to write, David would do my book cover without question, period. One day, maybe. I don't know.
Well, you're quite prolific in your journalism, so I wouldn't doubt if you had time, you would be doing that.
I could tell quite an interesting story. I don't know. All right. Maybe it's one of those things that better left in the shadows. I don't know. Okay. Now, as far as splash art goes, over 600 in 8 years, that's a prolific output. Does it leave you tired sometimes when you finish one? I mean, physically, artists, you know, it is emotionally tiring for some. Or do you feel energized? How do you feel after you've finished one? That you knocked it out of the park. It's got to feel good, but still.
It feels great, but it always seems that I never do enough. People ask me to do all sorts of subjects, and I feel like I've only scratched the surface of what I need to be doing. I tend to work in spurts. I'll do about five pieces, and then I'll just back off for a week or two, or sometimes one time I went a month without doing one. If I'm into it, I'm there, and I get so addicted to it. Early on when I was first started, you know, I was just turning out two a week for a while there, and I was so addicted to it that all my paying jobs were all suffering because I just wanted to get back, and I was thinking, oh, I got to do one about cell phone radiation, or I got to do one about this. There was so many subjects to cover. I was trying to help get the word out. It's all about getting the word out. I'm just trying to help people wake up. What can you do? And people tell me that it does help them wake up a lot. That it helps their family. You know, the book helps a lot because it's very interesting to anyone, even if they don't agree with us. They like the art.
All the better. Because it gets a reaction.
Yeah, the book is designed that way. It's kind of it's got 114 pieces in it, and it covers a wide number of subjects. But over and over, it does cover the basics that people would need to know to start to wake up. It's certainly a great introduction to getting outside of the mainstream media,
which is not easy to do for a lot of people.
No, they're very addicted to it. In fact, I really have come to the realization. There's got to be some sort of subliminal messaging going on, because I have a good friend, love the guy to death, but boy, oh boy, is he proud to be asleep, and he will not even consider chemtrails. Even though I can point to him and the plane turns the trail right off, he just smiles and goes, no way, no way. And I go, wow, what's it take to be so asleep? I don't say that to him, but I'm getting ready to. I'm about to put the hammer down on him and say, you got to wake up or I can't hang out with you anymore.
you bring the conversation around back to the beginning, and that's trying to help people understand the big picture, or at least the bigger picture. And sometimes you can't do it conversationally. I like to use YouTubes, or at least recommend them to people. Here, I'm having trouble with this. This really disturbs me. Would you look at it for me and tell me what you think? That's how you can get people to look at views that they otherwise wouldn't look at or consider or even entertain. And then they'll explain to you what they don't like about it. And then you can engage them gently and kindly and say, well, okay, thank you for that. And it helps. And then you can go from there. So that's one way to do it. Another way to do it is with your art. And you've seen this. How many times have you been around people who have your book and they open the cover and they just can't stop flipping through the pages? And they go, wow, you've told me a couple stories about this.
No, I get lots of emails where this one lady talked about on Christmas time, she had it sitting on the coffee table there, and most of the family's not awake, and so they were all slowly turning the pages and looking at it. You know, a lot of times by themselves, looking at the book for an hour or two. And she just smiled. And she said, I never said a thing to him. I just watched their faces, and I was so amused. So, in the beginning of the show, you asked me what has happened. I'll say this, is that, in the last 8 years, the emails that I've got from people appreciating what I've done is so satisfying. An artist could ever, there's no artist on the planet that could get better emails than I get about, and to make me feel good. Although I've gone through my own depressions and stuff, even a glowing email, it helps you. It helps cheer you up a bit. It does help a lot. And I'd like to thank everybody for the great things they've said to me. And it certainly inspires me to keep doing it and makes me want to do even more.
That's nice. It's always nice when you get honest and sincere feedback from people. So let David know how you feel about his art. Tell him. On the left column at Rents, you'll find the book cover ad. It's a blue one. It's right below the BioAge ad, and I would really urge all of you to get with the BioAge program. It is such an important thing now with this Fukushima radiation getting worse and worse and worse. And yeah, everybody's worried about Ebola right now. Fine. Well, BioAge, that super algae concentration, the four most potent forms of algae on the planet altogether. I take it every day, have for years. I put it in my drink and wouldn't be without it. Go a little further down the page and you'll see the website link to David D's site, David D's illustration. It's all right there. Or just remember, dds.com. Thank you, my friend. You take care of yourself. We'll talk soon.
Thank you, Jeff. I really appreciate it.
Always. All right. There he goes, David Dees, truly one of the most powerful commentators on the planet. Okay, we will be back.